This is iRock with Rockstars, hosted by Ryan from iRock 93.5.
It's Ryan here, and man, we got a great person on the phone with us. I mean, you talk about 90s music, you can't think of it without having Everclear in the conversation. And we're so happy that they're going to be here. Man, it's coming up next Friday. Art, you're going to be here in the Quad Cities. Are you excited for this one?
Super excited, man. I love the Quad Cities. Yeah. Love being in Davenport. It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. And it's you guys, Marcy Playground and Jimmy's Chicken Shack. I mean, that's a heck of a lineup right there that you put together.
Absolutely, man. It's some 90s alternative. You know, there's a lot of nostalgia going on, which I think some nostalgia is a healthy, good thing. Connecting where, you know, things with the things that made us feel good back in the day. And but at the same time, there's so many young kids coming to these shows, kids in their late teens and up to their like early 30s. A lot of these kids weren't even born when these songs came out. So it's a rock show, man. We're featuring all the hits, all the fan favorites, and also we're throwing in some deep tracks from Songs from American Movie Volume 1, which we made 25 years ago, so we're celebrating now.
That's awesome. And I mean, everything is, you know, cyclical. It all comes back around and stuff like that. So yeah, to see the younger ones discovering, you know, what myself and many others grew up with, makes us feel a little old, but also it's got to make us feel good, right?
Absolutely. We are old. Let's embrace it, you know? I mean, it is what it is. These kids, they have fire in their eyes. It's like they're discovering rock and roll, not just with Everclear, but I think a lot of 90s bands are doing really well right now. And it's because, you know, we didn't have Pro Tools and Auto-Tune and all that stuff. It was just straight up rock and roll back in the day.
Absolutely. You know, and that's an interesting thing that I was going to bring up later, but since we're going on here right now, I'm just going to bring it up now. In the radio world, I've been told by, you know, consultants that are higher above my pay grade that the 90s in general, especially the late 90s music, it just doesn't work on radio. That's what they tell me. I tell them they're full of crap, but again, I'm lower on the pay grade. What is it about
that? Why do they think it doesn't work?
I don't know.
It doesn't work on radio. It worked on radio back in the day.
Right. That's what I say, too. They're like, they're very stuck in the 80s. And 80s music was great. That, you know, fine, whatever. But I think there's just something about the 90s that, to me, it is that rebirth. It's the, you know, quite frankly, us in our 40s and, you know, now 30s and whatever. We're coming back around to it because we do miss it. And I think there was something about that time period that, you know, in our lifetime isn't going to be recreated. From your standpoint, you know, looking at what it was then and where things are now, I mean, where do you think that holds up in our recent history of music?
Well, I think it's the new classic rock. Because think about it, all of us guys and gals who were making music in the 90s, we all grew up in the 70s, you know? We were kids in the 70s. We grew up with Zeppelin and Beatles and Stones and Black Sabbath and Aerosmith and Boston and Cheap Trick and then punk rock and new wave and hip hop. And so I think there's just so much classic influences going on there that how could it not be classic rock?
That is true. I mean, and I guess from a performer and an artist standpoint, you're probably, you know, label me what you want, just as long as you enjoy it, right?
As long as you play me, dude. Yeah, I don't care. You know, it's funny you bring that up because back in the day, people were like, so, Art, tell us, what's alternative about Everclear? And I go, be honest with you, I don't really think we're very alternative to anything. I think we're an old school rock band. You know, I've always described Everclear as a singer-songwriter with a hard rock / punk rock band. You know, that's what we were. That's what we still are.
Yeah, and that's interesting that people would consider you alt-rock. I mean, because to me, you know...
Well, we came up with in the alt-rock after the grunge thing and, you know, whatever. It's all labels. Grunge, no one in Seattle or Portland where grunge was going on, no one in bands called themselves grunge. You know, that was just that was just a promotional thing done by Sub Pop Records. They came up with that.
That's true. I mean, hey, whatever label, I guess, like you said, whatever label you got to put on me to get us out there, you know, put it on, let's go and do our thing. We'll go back to that. I mean, you came out of Portland, so, you know, the upper Northwest, where after Kurt and grunge and everything hit big, the labels were looking for the next big thing up there. I mean, was that kind of how you first got that start? Was, hey, we're up in this area, and we ran into the right person at the right time?
Well, to be honest with you, I have been playing in bands for a long time. I was considered kind of old at the time. I was 30 when I moved to Portland. And I moved to Portland because my girlfriend was from Portland, and she was pregnant with our first child. That was my girlfriend at the time, became my second wife. And we were poor, but we moved out of San Francisco because this wasn't a great place to raise a kid, very expensive place to raise a kid. And so we moved to Portland, and I knew it was going to be my last band. And if that didn't happen, I was probably going to end up moving to L.A., working for a label, producing, writing for other people, you know, doing that thing. And so when I went into Everclear, I went in with a vengeance. And God was giving everything I had, you know. And look what happened.
Worked out pretty well.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. Talking here with Art with Everclear, how many times do you think over the last 30-some years have people come up to you and offered you Everclear the drink because you're in the band Everclear?
Not too often. Most people know I'm sober, but, like, I have signed bottles of Everclear. I don't have a problem with that.
I figured somebody would, yeah.
But, like, if they're drinking Everclear to get drunk on, then they got bigger problems than me not signing a bottle, right?
Right. I mean, oh my gosh.
That stuff will make you go blind.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, but what we're celebrating this year is our 25th anniversary of Songs from American Movie Volume 1, Learning How to Smile, our fourth album, which had the hits Wonderful and AM Radio, and we're doing deeper songs off that as well as the hits. And we're offering for sale now the Songs from American Movie Volume 1 on vinyl, on yellow vinyl, the way it was supposed to come out 25 years ago, but Capitol wouldn't put it out. They were contractually obligated to put it out, but they didn't want to put it out because no one was buying vinyl at the time, not even 500 pieces. These days, as you know, vinyl outsells CDs, I think, 5-1. And, so we're celebrating that. We have those at the show, and or you can get them online. But if you get at the show, come out to the show, and 9 times out of 10, we're signing autographs out there. So
that is pretty funny that, like you said, I mean, the 90s are coming back around. Vinyl's coming back around. I mean, it's all right back here for us.
Absolutely.
Is there one, and I think I know the one, but is there one when you're up on stage, when you're out there, that gets the crowd going the most?
One song?
Yep.
It's got to be one of the hits. It's either probably Santa Monica, either Santa Monica or Father of Mine.
I think I discovered you guys with Father of Mine. Like, I don't know why it was that one and not the one before. But yeah, I think Father of Mine was the one that, first hit for me. So when you're playing those and people are singing along, are you as an artist, are you like, okay, I want to stay true to what they remember from 1995, or I'm going to put this other little spin on it here that makes it just a little bit different now that it's, 30 years old?
No, we play pretty true. I mean, we have certain breaks that we get the crowd singing in it as well. But no, we play pretty, we've always been a lot more aggressive than our record sound, because that's the way it was in the 70s when I grew up. Bands would have more produced records with more depth and dimension because you could listen to it over and over. But live was a lot more visceral and a lot more just you know, two-dimensional, just super loud and rock and raunchy and in your face. And that's how we are live. If you listen to our live album that came out last year, Live at the Whiskey a Go-Go, that's a great representation of what you'll see if you go on and listen to that on Spotify or something.
Yeah. Is there a song that every time, you know, you've been playing them for a long time, or even one of the newer ones, is there the song that, you know, the fans love, but what's the one that you're like, this is the one I want to play? Or does it just change based on your mood?
It changes based on my mood. I love all my kids.
Sure.
All my kids.
Sure, yeah. They're all yours, so at some point you're like, I remember writing this one at this time, and, you know, like you said, even 30 years later, if it's the 14th track on whatever album, you still remember where you were and why you wrote it, right?
Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty true.
Well, man, anything else that, all right, you know, the Quad Cities should know about before they see you next week?
No, man, come on out to the show. It's going to be a rock show. It's going to be great.
That's the best part of it. A Friday night with a rock show, I mean, how can you not have a good time, right?
How can you not have a good time? Absolutely.